This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, guys? This is Terrell Owens and Matthew Hatchett. Get your popcorn ready. You're listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Sylvester. Mike Tagliere is out again today. He'll be back next week, but of course I've got Kyle Yates with me. He's on Twitter, at KyleYNFL. I'm at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Kyle, what's going on, dude?
Not a whole lot, man. We were talking before we started recording that it is just super dark and gloomy here. We got some thunderstorms going, and it's just like, I want to take a nap. So, and I said that earlier on this week on the podcast too. I must just be like dying for a nap.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. It's going to thunderstorm here like the next 5 days. Not looking forward to that. Kind of wish I was moving out to California or something. That would be nice. We've got a great guest on for today's show, though. And we're going to be talking wide receiver and tight end redraft rankings, just like we did last show with quarterbacks and running backs. Our guest is Joe Dolan. He's the owner and editor of the new fantasy site, Fantasy Points. Joe, thanks for coming to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. So we just launched fantasypoints.com with a great team. I've been kind of doing my, I guess this is the fantasy football or the fantasy industry rounds of, like, you know, when a new movie comes out during the summer and then everybody goes on the Tonight Show and then Colbert and Conan, you know, I've been kind of doing the rounds here with launching the site and hitting up all the podcasts. But I'm really glad to be with you guys. It's great to be back on the Fantasy Pros Pod.
Well, we're glad to have you on. You're always one of the most accurate experts in the Fantasy Pros accuracy competition for our rankings. You also co-host the Fantasy Feast podcast with Ross Tucker, who's one of our favorites as well. Radio show of the year host at SiriusXM Fantasy. Great resume, man. We're excited to have you on and talk, and I know you get excited like me, so this is going to be a fun show.
It will be. I'm excited to talk some ball. I think it's like right now, this time, it's kind of all we have, right? You know,
it's
good to get your mind off of things, and it's why I'm glad the NFL draft went as planned and all that stuff. It made me happy to be able to have that. I think it made a lot of people happy, quite frankly.
Yates, I'm looking at your rankings right now, and I know you're like this super easygoing, chill guy. Everybody loves you. I'm going to get you fired up today because we've got some big disputes, baby. Let's start with Allen Robinson. You've got him up at 9. I've got him at 14. I'm actually not going to fight you too much on this one. We've got some coming later. They're going to be some big fights. But you have him in your top 10. Can you explain why you like him so much this year?
Yeah, it's mostly just looking at the Chicago Bears offense from 2018 and trying to predict that from a sample size as far as their overall passing and rushing totals. Because 2019, we can't overstate how much Mitchell Trubisky held back that offense. So I think with Nick Foles, I'm projecting Nick Foles to be the starter And so in that case, that offense should be moving a little bit more than it was last year. It can only go up, right? So
sure.
And looking at that wide receiving core, I mean, you have guys like Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery out of the backfield, but they're only going to see a dedicated amount of targets. You're talking about it's Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller, and then Jimmy Graham, Cole Kmet. Like, you're going to be looking at Allen Robinson getting a hefty target share in this offense. And with his talent, I believe he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL from just a skill set standpoint. So he's one of these guys that I'm a big believer in.
So after I brought this up thinking, man, Yates is a little bit wild having him all the way up at 9. I saw that his ECR, that's the expert consensus rankings, wide receiver number 9. I'm the odd dog here having him at 14. Joe, where do you stand?
7.
Oh, there we go. Baby, let's go. All right.
So, I mean, look, when I went back and we looked at Allen Robinson's production last year, I was surprised. You know, there's always those guys where you go back and you look after the season and you're like, whoa, I didn't realize that guy had that good a year. Allen Robinson caught 98 passes last season. Are you kidding me? And look, I think that he's in the mix to be in that range again. Like you said, look, they brought in Cole Kmet. I'm not really sure how much Kmet is going to contribute as a rookie. They signed the mummified version of Jimmy Graham. They drafted Darnell Mooney, who's kind of a deep threat, but I really don't see why there won't be a lot of targets here for Allen Robinson again. And as you guys said, I think Nick Foles is the starting quarterback. They can say all they want about this being an open competition, but I think at some point Nick Foles is going to start at quarterback. And, you know, the thing with Foles is this. Whenever he's the backup, it seems like fans and coaches are clamoring for Nick Foles to be the starter. Whenever he's the starter, it seems like fans and coaches are clamoring for the backup to come in and become the starter. He's just one of those guys, I guess, in the 20 to 32 rank of NFL quarterbacks that you know is good, is probably one of the 32 best, but never good enough to be like the guy. You always want to replace him. But for that being said about Nick Foles, I think it's pretty obvious that Mitchell Trubisky is not one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Agree.
I think he's going to be the starter.
Could be.
Maybe, but I think Foles is better. I think Foles is going to be the starter.
Yeah, I agree with that. We just saw flashes of Trubisky being a quality quarterback, and then last year he just wasn't.
Well, one of the problems with Trubisky was he didn't run at all.
Yeah. They need to let him be himself.
Yeah, and like, this day and age in the NFL, you know, there used to be the whole thing, like back in the day when Peyton and Brady were really ruling the land, it was you had to win from the pocket. And I'm not saying winning from the pocket isn't still important or arguably the most important, but we've seen coaches in the new NFL take advantage of the strengths of some of their quarterbacks and get them outside. Look at Baltimore turned Lamar Jackson into the MVP, not to take credit away from him, but they designed an offense for him. Not to say Mitchell Trubisky is anywhere near as talented as Lamar Jackson, but you know, I was surprised at how boring the Bears offense was last year, but maybe Trubisky just isn't all that good. And keep this in mind, as much criticism as Matt Nagy gets, he wasn't on the staff when they drafted Mitchell Trubisky. He wasn't there. That was all Ryan Pace. And now, you know, Matt Nagy's had to live with that. They brought in John DeFilippo to be the quarterback's coach. Bill Lazor is the offensive coordinator. Both of those guys have had experience working with Foles. Foles worked with Matt Nagy in Kansas City. Nick Foles is going to be the starting quarterback, and Nick Foles is better than Mitchell Trubisky. I think Allen Robinson is one of my favorite wide receivers this year. And frankly, right now, I actually think he's being underdrafted.
You know, I love Allen Robinson, the player. Here's my problem with Allen Robinson, why I've got him lower. They threw the ball 580 times last year because they were playing from behind. I think with Nick Foles as the quarterback, they're going to go back to running the ball a lot. I mean, how many times did they throw the ball back in 2018 when they went 12-4? Let me go back and look at this really quick. 512 times. That's 70 targets that are just going to disappear. And also, you know, you look at guys who were behind. Allen Robinson finished wide receiver 11 last year. Mike Evans missed 3 games. He was behind Robinson. Devontae Adams, he missed 4 games. He was behind Robinson. Tyreek Hill, he missed 4 games. He was behind Robinson. Adam Thielen missed half the season. Those are all guys that I would draft ahead of Allen Robinson. Now, I'm not going to nitpick on this one because I don't think there's a big difference between 9 and 14. I guess I just won't be getting any shares. Let's move on to someone else we disagree on here quite a bit. Yates, it's Amari Cooper, who I have in my top 10. You don't have in your top 20. Is this just because they have so many weapons?
Yeah, it's looking at trying to project them coming down from their overall passing volume from last year. They passed the ball a ton last year, and I don't think that that's going to continue with Mike McCarthy. As we move through the offseason, I could certainly...
Oh, shoot, Mike McCarthy, yeah.
Yeah, as we move through the offseason, I could certainly, you know, see that if new information comes out, I can certainly adjust. But, I mean, they passed the ball, I think, over 600 times last year. You know, it just, I'm not projecting that moving forward. I think they want to get back to Zeke. Then you add in CeeDee Lamb, who I think can be a target hog in this offense. I think Amari Cooper's overall target totals come down quite a bit because you still have Michael Gallup there as well. So I think just looking at that offense, I think Amari Cooper's overall ceiling has diminished. Can he make up for it in touchdowns? Of course. But I just think that this is someone who took a hit with CeeDee Lamb coming into this offense.
So here's my points on Amari Cooper. First of all, Randall Cobb was really good last year. He had 828 receiving yards. That's the role that Lamb is filling, in my opinion. And so, yeah, he's going to be a little bit better than Cobb, but I don't think he takes a ton away from that. Now, you talk about them losing pass attempts. That's because Kellen Moore was finally calling plays, and this guy is an offensive genius. Their offense was great. Joe, do you think that they're going to go back to letting the head coach, you know, design the offense, or is this Kellen Moore's offense, and are they going to keep throwing the ball as much as they did?
Well, I think Mike McCarthy's going to come in here and he's going to exert his influence over this offense. I think that's happening.
I hope you're wrong, guys.
Now, I got to be honest. When toward the end of his Green Bay tenure, actually towards the back half of his Green Bay tenure, I started to really question whether or not McCarthy was like this great coach. And now the opinion has become like that Mike McCarthy's a terrible coach. And I started to turn on him a little bit when everybody thought he was one of the best coaches in the NFL. And then all of a sudden, everybody, as the groupthink typically is, everybody was a little late to the party. And then everybody decided he was just terrible. And now I actually think I've come here and I'm a little higher on Mike McCarthy than the consensus. Because I think it was also kind of evident during the end of McCarthy's tenure that Aaron Rodgers' play was slipping. And how do we know that the Packers agree with that? They just drafted a quarterback in the first round. So maybe Mike McCarthy got a little bit too much heat from the general populace towards the end. I'm not trying to tell you
that's fair.
That the guy's Andy Reid, okay? I'm not trying to say that, but maybe it was a little too much against McCarthy because Aaron Rodgers, by the time McCarthy's tenure was over, Aaron Rodgers had become unimpeachable. You couldn't talk trash on Aaron Rodgers. Now people are starting to realize, maybe there's a give and a take here. So that's one thing. However, it's kind of funny that you guys, we were all kind of opposite on Allen Robinson. You know, Yates was in the middle between us two, Bobby. And now I'm in the middle of you two on Amari Cooper. Yeah. I've got him at 17.
Okay.
And I think they are going to throw the ball. Here is the thing. When they drafted CeeDee Lamb, I think we all freaked out. I think we're all like, oh my God, where are these targets coming from? But I was surprised to learn that both Jason Witten and Randall Cobb had 83 targets last season. That's 166 targets that are gone. Now, Blake Jarwin's probably going to take a decent share of Jason Witten's targets. But, I mean, even if Blake Jarwin adds 60 targets to what he had last year, there's over 100 targets available. And CeeDee Lamb, I don't know if Lamb's going to get over 100 targets, but I think Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup can split them. The problem with Amari Cooper here, and this is why I don't like him as much as I like somebody like Allen Robinson, is Amari Cooper's going to have games where he catches two passes. He'll probably have games where he catches eight passes. He's somebody who my buddy and colleague Scott Barrett at fantasypoints.com has studied over the years and said, man, when Amari Cooper faces a top corner, the top corner shuts him down. He just does not do well with really good man-to-man corners. So maybe in those games, if Cooper is playing outside and he is being shadowed, those are the games he gets shut down. But it also, with Lamb added and obviously Gallup emerging, it makes it harder to shadow Amari Cooper because those guys can get you. So I just think I have him at 17 because I don't have overwhelming confidence that he's going to be somebody that I feel confident each and every week saying, man, this guy's my hammer wide receiver one. And that's why I have him at 17, because I do think at some point you're probably going to be making decisions on him. I'd like to say this year, and it's kind of true every year, but I think this year especially, there's like 40 wide receiver threes out there.
Right.
you can draft all wide receiver threes and have seven wide receivers on your team. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I wonder if Cooper is going to be a frustrating guy where you're like, man, I really want to play Amari Cooper because he's Amari Cooper. But I've got Tyler Boyd down here, and he's been catching 6 passes every game. And I think there's going to be decisions like that on him. That's why I have him as a mid-range wide receiver 2 this season.
So this is really interesting. I'm looking at ECR, and he's number 10. He's in the top 10 in ECR as well. I'm really surprised by that. Now, he did finish number 9, fantasy wide receiver number 9 last year, playing through plantar fasciitis, which is a pretty big deal. That's a really difficult injury to play through. And you remember, when he got traded to the Cowboys, not knowing the playbook, he just came in and was immediately the wide receiver 2 in fantasy football. I think he's got that kind of upside. I think that he's legitimately one of the 6 or 7 guys who could be the number 1 fantasy wide receiver this year. And that's why I want to draft him. I want to draft him and Beckham as my wide receiver 1 and 2. I'd be thrilled with that start.
You know, I think that he definitely has upside, right? Like, the talent level is there. This is not me putting him down there in my rankings outside the top 20 is not saying that Amari Cooper is not a top 20 wide receiver from a talent perspective. If we were to see something happen to CeeDee Lamb, to Michael Gallup, you know, of course, God forbid, like, I never want to wish injuries upon anyone. But if something happens with that, Amari Cooper's target totals go up, because you look at who they have on the depth chart behind him: Devin Smith, Cedric Wilson, Tevin Jones, like, no one, you know. So it's like, then at that point, Amari Cooper's target totals can then again skyrocket. So that's why I think he certainly has the upside, but I think that if you're projecting everyone to play a full 16-game season, I don't see him finishing as a top 10 wide receiver.
All right, guys, before we get to the next one, I want to tell you about a really cool website you guys are going to love. It's Reality Sports Online. By now, you've probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy teams like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is all about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automatic contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think that sounds complicated? It's really not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online, Fantasy Front Office, is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, and you'll receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. All right, let's get to another wide receiver that is very controversial this year. It's AJ Green. And I know I'm ridiculously high on AJ Green. And Yates, you are ridiculously low on AJ Green. I can't imagine there is any wide receiver that we differ on, any player we differ on more than AJ Green. So Joe, why don't you split the difference? Tell us what you think, and then we'll make our cases.
Okay, so at fantasypoints.com, we have the Cincinnati wide receivers back-to-back in our projections.
Oh, no.
AJ Green is 27th. And Tyler Boyd is 28th. And now I have to keep in mind, and people always ask, like, the rankings I use for the Fantasy Pros rankings. There have always been our staff rankings, which has been part of the reason I think we've been so successful. We get our minds in on here. I actually happen to be personally a little higher on Tyler Boyd this year than AJ Green.
Oh, man, you guys. Oh, I'm going to fight you both.
Well, okay, but first and foremost, I have my reasons for this. But see, AJ Green, I was in an NFFC cutline draft this week, and I took AJ Green as my wide receiver 4, and I'm like thrilled about that. I'm like, wait a minute, like, what a perfect situation to have AJ Green, where I have 3 other wide receivers I feel really good about, and if his upside hits, and I have just an unbelievable group of wide receivers. But if his downside, which, I mean, I don't even know what his downside is, he just didn't play an entire year, then I'm okay. I'm cushioned by that. I have AJ Green ranked as a solid, really good wide receiver 3 here at 27th. And part of the reason is, frankly, Cincinnati's got a ton of weapons. And
they do.
The good news is they have an excellent trigger man now. I'm very high on Joe Burrow.
All right, Yates, why don't you pile on, baby? Because obviously Joe's on your side.
Yeah, this is more so just looking at, one, AJ Green didn't play last year. Okay, so we can't pretend that this is going to be the AJ Green from 2 to 3 years ago, where he comes in and is automatically the wide receiver 1 on this team. And then additionally, or that he's going to be full strength, right? Like, we just can't project that fully, confidently. At least I can't. So then the other part of it is that they're coming out, the Bengals coaching staff is coming out and saying that T. Higgins is going to be a starter on this offense. Like, he's going to be involved. This is not a long-term draft selection here at the top of the second round, which is heavy, heavy draft capital for a player that I really liked coming out of college. So T. Higgins is going to be involved, and he plays a very similar role to A.J. Green. And so I think that because you have Tyler Boyd out of the slot, you have John Ross as the outside receiver stretching the field, you know, and then you have A.J. Green and T. Higgins, similar body types, are going to be that X receiver. So I think that you're going to see that A.J. Green may not be on the field for 100% of the snaps. I think that it could be realistic where they ease him back in and say, like, hey, we want you in the red zone. We still want you involved, but T. Higgins is our future. I wouldn't be surprised if we see A.J. Green walk in free agency next year or just straight up retire after playing under the franchise tag.
He's 31 years old. Here's what I love about A.J. Green, okay? Every single year of his career, his rookie year, all the way back in 2018 when, you know, he only played 9 games, if you prorate his games to a full season, he's a top 12 fantasy wide receiver. He's always been a top 12 fantasy wide receiver. He was on pace for 1,200 yards again in 2018. He was on pace for double-digit touchdowns again in 2018. This is all we've seen from him. And I think that the Bengals offense, yeah, I really like Tyler Boyd. I like John Ross. I like T. Higgins.
Wait, you like John Ross?
you don't like John Ross?
Hold on.
He was good last year when he was on the field.
Yeah.
I like Auden Tate too. But what I'm saying is A.J. Green has always been not just the wide receiver one on his team, a wide receiver one in fantasy football. So yeah, is he going to take a step back after a year off? He's 31 years old now. Yeah, probably. Is he going to take a step back all the way to a wide receiver three, wide receiver four? No way, guys. I will die on this hill. I'm drafting A.J. Green in every freaking league.
See, now here, wait a minute though. Here is the difference between saying I am lower on A.J. Green rankings wise and then saying I'll draft him, because I think that's a completely different distinction here. Sure. What's A.J. Green's ADP right now?
Right where you have him, 26, 28.
I'm showing wide receiver 29 in our data. And guess what? There, I'll draft him all the time too. Sure. And that's the distinction, because I'll say you can have a guy at wide receiver 27, and if he's going at wide receiver 18, then I'm not drafting him. I can have a guy at wide receiver 27, and if he's going at wide receiver 29, wide receiver 30, then I am drafting him. That's the big distinction, because like I said, I got A.J. Green as a wide receiver 4 in an NFFC cut line. Now that's 10 team, but still, that indicates you'll be able to get him as a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 in drafts. That's a completely different question on where I have A.J. Green ranked, because at his current ADP, I will draft him a metric ton as well, because I agree with you with the upside there. Like, I think the upside is higher than that of Tyler Boyd. I also think his downside is lower than that of Tyler Boyd. So, but Boyd is also going higher than A.J. Green. So, like, that's, to me, that's a totally different question. And there, I'm with you, Bobby. Like, that, I will draft him on every team if his ADP stays where it is.
So you're like right in the middle. You're with Yates way back there. But basically, you guys are with the consensus, because consensus has him at 28. I've got him in my top 20, guys. I'm drafting him over Cooper Kupp. I'm drafting him over Cortland Sutton. I'm drafting over Calvin Ridley, Devontae Parker. I will get my shares of A.J. Green, and it will take me to the championship. Bring it on, baby. All right, let's do one more here, and then we'll just walk through the wide receiver rankings before we get to tight end. Now, I'm not going to tell you which side we're on, Joe. You pick your side, and you tell me what you think. Calvin Ridley, high or low?
Oh, you picked a good one, because I almost interjected with you guys when you mentioned Calvin Ridley. You're taking A.J. Green over Calvin Ridley.
Oh man, I shouldn't have said that, because now you know what side Yates is on. You've got him at 10?
I have him at 10.
Yates has him in his top 10 too. You guys are nuts. Oh man, he's my number 19. He's number 19 wide receiver for everybody else. I've got Calvin Ridley at 24.
Wow. Okay. Now, you have to defend yourself against us two, because
no, you guys are further from the consensus. You guys are the defenders. His ECR is 19, guys.
Are you serious? It's at 19?
He's 19.
here's somebody I'll be drafting, and I think, Yates, you'll draft on all your teams, too.
I'll be right there with you.
Okay, so here's a little bit of an anecdote for you. In that NFFC cutline draft, and I'm using that as an example because, you know, it's high stakes. People are playing in those now are really sharp people. I was sitting in the third round of that draft, and I had three guys that I was considering. I was considering Kenny Golladay, I was considering Odell Beckham, and I was considering Calvin Ridley. And I was considering these three guys in the third round. It was the 29th overall pick. I picked ninth, and there's no third round reversal in NFFC cutline. So it was 29th overall. And of those, I decided to go with Odell Beckham because it's a modified best ball. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go for Odell's upside and I'm going to play to win. And I'm going to draft Odell Beckham, even though I have Calvin Ridley ranked higher than Odell Beckham. Turns out I was able to get Ridley in the fifth round. So that indicated to me, I got the guy two rounds later than I was actually targeting him. And that shows me, and I think, Yates, you're probably here, you'll draft Calvin Ridley on every team if that's the case. And look, I'm just not at all convinced Atlanta's going to be able to run the football. You know, I was looking at Twitter today, and Dirk Cutter's out there, the offensive coordinator, and he's saying, well, here's the question. What's Todd Gurley's health situation? You're the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons. I would hope you know
you
that.
You should know that.
So I really think they struggled to run the football last year. I think they're going to struggle to run it again. Matt Ryan's going to throw the ball over 600 times. There's no Mohamed Sanu. I know there's some late round buzz on Russell Gage. I get that. Julio Jones. Look, Julio Jones is a Hall of Famer, but it seems like five times a season he's limping off the field. I don't even think Calvin Ridley's all that special. I just think he's going to get a load of targets. So Calvin Ridley's in my top 10 on a team that I think is going to throw the ball over 600 times. Have him for 84 catches and 9 touchdowns this year.
So give me a number. He had 93 targets last year. How much does that go up?
I think it goes up by roughly 50%.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's sitting around 130, 135.
Yeah, that's where I'd put him, at about between 130 and 140.
Yates, you know the drill, baby. Pile on. See what we got. I'm going to fight it all. I'm going to fight you guys.
Yeah, so the Atlanta Falcons last year threw the ball 684 times.
Yes, they did. That is way too much to replicate.
Yeah, completely. Their defense was atrocious. However, moving forward, the arguments that Joe said, that I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball as effectively as they have in years past. I think their defense is still questionable. Like, yes, they made some improvements in drafting AJ Terrell, but again, he's a rookie corner. Like, we can't fully rely on him, especially when you have a division that has as talented wide receivers as some of these other teams do. So I'm projecting them to throw the ball 620 times this year. And looking at their depth chart, like, Russell Gage is a good wide receiver three, but he's not going to see more than 4-5 targets a game. You're looking at Julio Jones still being the predominant target share leader there. Calvin Ridley is there. I think he's their 1B. And then Hayden Hurst is still going to be involved. Otherwise, outside of that, you have Todd Gurley getting some targets out of the backfield.
I think he gets more targets than Freeman did last year.
Well, it's just the question of how healthy can he stay? Like, what happens? We're talking about upside too. Like, man, with some of these other guys of Amari Cooper and...
Like, imagine if Julio gets hurt.
Imagine if Todd Gurley gets hurt 4 games into the season and you have to rely on Brian Hill as your lead back. You're not targeting Brian Hill out of the backfield. Calvin Ridley is going to see even more targets. So I'm right there with Joe. I have him projected for a 20% target share, which is 124 targets, 82 receptions, and 9 touchdowns.
You're 100% right. I mean, sorry to interrupt you, but go. I cannot believe this team did not draft a running back.
Right.
I can't believe it. They signed Todd Gurley, who the Rams ate like $20 million just to get rid
of. My word, yep.
And then didn't draft a running back. Like, I just really think they're going to struggle to run the football. Even if Gurley has a good year, I don't think they're going to be a great running team. It's just, they threw nearly 700 times last year. Calling Matt Ryan for 600 pass attempts might be low.
Right. Well, and the thing too is that even like talking about them as not a great running team, you're looking at the remaining options, even if they do sign someone off the street. You're talking about the remaining options of Lamar Miller, Carlos Hyde. Are they going to dramatically improve your run game? No.
They're better than Brian Hill.
Right. Well, yes, but it's not going to dramatically improve your running game to the point where you feel comfortable. Okay, we can effectively run the ball now that we've got Lamar Miller. You know, so unless they go out and trade for a running back, which I don't see them doing, Calvin Ridley's walking into an amazing opportunity this year.
What I'm saying here, okay, They're not throwing the ball 680 times. I'll say they'll throw the ball 620. They'll be top five in the league and throw the ball 620 times. So that's 60 targets gone. You got Hooper who's leaving, but Todd Gurley coming in. So I think the running back tight end targets stay about the same. Sanu leaves. It's going to drop maybe 20 targets there. So, okay, Ridley has 20 targets to potentially pick up. But Julio Jones isn't going anywhere, guys. He's missed four games in the last 6 years. He's the third greatest wide receiver of all time behind Jerry Rice and Randy Moss. He had 157 targets last year. He's the number one. As long as he's on the field, he is getting those 170 targets he saw back in 2018. And I just don't think there's that much room for Calvin Ridley to grow. He was extraordinarily efficient last year. I get it. But I don't think he's getting 130 targets, guys. 120 targets.
Here's the thing, Bobby. Even in my projection with projecting Calvin Ridley with a 20% target share, I have Julio Jones with a 27% target share, which is 170 targets. There are targets to go around in this offense.
Yeah, I would agree with that. However, I just don't think they're throwing the ball 680 times. Let's move on to the very front of our wide receiver rankings. Obviously, everyone has Michael Thomas, but then it gets down to Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, even Chris Godwin. I could see any of those five being the number two on your board. Who do you have, Yates? And then we'll move on to you, Joe. Give me your top five wide receivers in order and tell me why your number two is your number two.
Yeah, for sure. So it's Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin, Davante Adams, and Tyreek Hill are my top five early wide receivers. So I think with number two there, Julio Jones, take your argument, Bobby, that he's one of the most talented wide receivers of all time.
Are you drafting Matt Ryan? Let me just ask you. You've got Julio Jones number two, Calvin Ridley top 10. Are you drafting Matt Ryan?
I have Matt Ryan as my QB 10. So
okay.
I'm perfectly comfortable taking him, especially because he's going to have such a low ADP.
All right, we're going to keep moving here in just a second. But first, I want to remind you all, we've got a giveaway going on. We're giving away a full-sized, signed Alvin Kamara Saints helmet. And if you want to win this lucky bad boy, all you need to do is head on over to Stitcher or Apple Podcast and leave us an honest review. Take a screenshot of that review and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. You can check out all the details for this at fantasypros.com/contest. All right, so you've got Julio Jones as your number two. Now, we already talked about Julio quite a bit. So, Joe, let's move on to you. Who do you have as your number two?
Davante Adams.
Okay, and I get it. If Adams stays healthy, I had Adams there, but I'm worried about the concussions. He's had 5-6 in his career already.
Yeah, I mean, I also just look at this, and you look at the way the Packers drafted. They didn't draft a wide receiver in this class. I mean, the targets for Davante Adams could just be out of control. We're talking it could be 10 to 12 targets per game. And I mean, look, two years ago in 2018, he had 169 in 15 games. That's 11. Last season, he had 127 in 12 games. That's 10.5, 10.6. And by the way, he was playing hurt a significant part of that time. So, I mean, I think there's 180 target upside here. And that's not a stretch, because had he played 16 games in 2018, he probably would have hit 180.
I love Davante Adams, so I'm not going to fight you on this one. I'm worried about the concussion, so I've got Julio Jones ahead of him. By the way, Julio Jones is number five in ECR, guys. So we're all going to get some shares of Julio Jones. But everyone always says, well, guys, Davante Adams, he's only had 1,000 receiving yards in one season. He had 997 in two different seasons than that. He always gets double-digit touchdowns. Don't play those silly games. Davante Adams, I think he's closer to Michael Thomas than he is to DeAndre Hopkins and Tyreek Hill. He's so dang good. I'm just a little worried about the injuries. That's all. So I've got Julio as my number two.
I think it's fair.
Yeah, we already talked about Allen Robinson, Calvin Ridley. We know you guys are both going to draft some shares of those guys. So let's move outside of the top 10 and into this, 11 to 20 range. Who are some guys, Yates, that you're targeting in the fourth, fifth, sixth round, maybe as your wide receiver two?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll talk Cortland Sutton. I have him as wide receiver 10. Even with the additions that Denver made through the draft with Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, I'm not projecting a large target share for KJ Hamler. So I think Jerry Jeudy will see, a significant number of targets, but this is Cortland Sutton's team. I currently have him down for 132 targets on the season. And we know that he, has just continued his ascension. So if Drew Lock can take that step forward, I think Cortland Sutton is a phenomenal player.
I've got him at 18. You've got him at 10. Joe, where do you have Cortland Sutton?
Cortland Sutton, we have at fantasypoints.com at 25th.
Oh wow. Man. All right.
I actually, now let me just flat out say I think we're a little low on him.
Sure. I mean, and here's the thing. What's the difference between wide receiver 15 and wide receiver 25 this year?
It's not much.
Stephon Diggs is ECR wide receiver 25. I see no difference between the two and anybody in that group.
I feel a little bit better about Sutton only because I feel better about, I'm not a Josh Allen hater, but I just feel I feel better about Drew Lock's chances to get Cortland Sutton the ball. But I kind of see your point, though. We know Josh Allen isn't the most accurate passer. He's not a great ball distributor. Drew Lock was promising, but he played five games. And they just loaded up all these at wide receiver. They got Jerry Jeudy. They added KJ Hamler. They drafted Okoye Bunam, the tight end, who Drew Lock threw to at Missouri. They already have Noah Fant. They signed Nick Vinette. Where are the targets coming from? Is Drew Lock going to drop back 40 times a game? I sure as hell don't think they want to do that. They just signed Melvin Gordon. So that's why I think I'm a little bit lower on Cortland Sutton in that regard.
I definitely see the upside with Sutton. I definitely see him, you know, struggling to get targets because they're going to run the ball a lot and they have so many weapons. So I've got him right there in the middle. I think he's got plenty of upside, though. Yates, who's another wide receiver, too, that you're fond of? If you're not getting Sutton, who do you imagine you'll have on your team?
Probably Terry McLaurin. I have Terry McLaurin pretty high as well.
Me too.
Just based on pure target share. I mean, it's ridiculous the number that I have him down for as far as a target share. I mean, I have him, 24% target share in this offense. Just with other guys like Antonio Gandy-Golden, again, unproven. Kelvin Harmon, unproven. Steven Sims, but then I'm also projecting that Antonio Gibson is going to be involved out of the slot. So there's definitely some uncertainty with this offense. I don't think he's going to have necessarily a huge high receiving touchdown total, but the upside is definitely there. I'd love to have him as my wide receiver too.
He was incredible, man. He was the best contested catch receiver in the NFL last year as a rookie, and he was with Dwayne Haskins, who missed him on three wide open touchdowns. I'm not exaggerating. You go back and look at the tape. He was wide open. Any other quarterback in the NFL would have hit him. Does year two Dwayne Haskins hit him there? I think probably. I don't think he can be that bad and keep the job. I think Terry McLaurin's going to ball out this year. I love him. What do you think about him, Joe? And who do you like as a wide receiver two this year?
I have McLaurin at wide receiver 22 with some upside. I also think there's some downside there because I wasn't a huge Haskins fan.
All three of us are higher on McLaurin than the consensus, who has him at 26.
I mean, just too much upside there for me to rank him a whole lot lower than that. Here are a couple guys. Like, we already talked about Calvin Ridley. He's going very, very late comparatively to where I have him ranked. So I think I can get him as a wide receiver too, even though I have him ranked as a one. Same deal with Bobby Trees, Robert Woods. I think, I'm not sure what the consensus is on him.
21.
We have him at 9 at fantasypoints.com.
Oh,
again,
wow. Because Brandon Cooks is leaving too.
Brandon Cooks is gone. They played significant snaps of 12 personnel last year, which actually took Cooper Kupp off the field. And I'm a big Kupp fan, but it looks like 12 personnel is once again going to be a significant part of what they do. Remember, they have Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee. They also spent a mid-round draft pick on Bryson Hopkins, who's a really athletic tight end. I think that's more for down the road because Gerald Everett's in a contract year, but it indicates that they really want 12 personnel to be a foundation of their offense. Now,
can you explain to our listeners, by the way, what that means, 12 personnel?
12 personnel. So whenever you hear somebody talk about personnel, whether it be 11 personnel or 12 personnel or 21 personnel, the first number in that, like, so for instance, in 12 personnel, that the first number of 12 is one. That shows you how many running backs are on the field. So 12 personnel has one running back on the field. The second number is how many tight ends are on the field. So in 12 personnel, it will be two tight ends. So 12 personnel, 11 personnel is one running back and one tight end. And because of that, we know there's five eligible receivers on every play. You get however many wide receivers are on the field. So 11 personnel, it's three. 12 personnel, it's two. Arizona ran a lot of 10 personnel last year, which means zero tight ends on the field.
I think that's what the Bengals are going to do, by the way. I think they're going to run a lot of 10 personnel.
So four wide receivers on the field. But the Rams, so the problem is when you play a lot of 12 personnel, we saw the Vikings do it a lot last year. I expect the Browns to do it a lot last year. Philadelphia did it a lot last year and will do it a lot this year. The problem is there's not a lot of space for wide receivers out there. So I think Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are going to be the top two wide receivers. But then also, the Rams are talking up Josh Reynolds, and they drafted Van Jefferson in the second round. So they have a lot of flexibility, but I think Robert Woods is the guy who, over the second half of last season, when When they went to 12 personnel, he was superb for the Rams. Cooper Kupp's production went down a little bit. Robert Woods ended up a career highs in catches. He had 90 catches. He had 1,134 receiving yards. He scored only 2 receiving touchdowns. If he catches 90 passes again, that's going to go way up. That's noisy. That's fluky. So I think Robert Woods is going to have a massive role this year. So he's somebody I'm really targeting as a wide receiver 2 because I have him ranked as a wide receiver 1. And heck, according to like the consensus in ADP, you might be able to get him as your 3. And that means that's a guy who I'm going to draft a ton.
So I already talked about all my wide receiver 2s. I love Odell Beckham, Amari Cooper. I'll get them as my 1-2 a lot of times. AJ Green is my wide receiver 3. Let's move on to your guys' wide receiver 3. I'll probably have a lot of shares of Deebo Samuel. I'll have a lot of shares of Terry McLaurin, as we already mentioned. Who else do you guys like? Joe, why don't we start with you this time?
Okay, so if we're going down, like, once again, I'm saying, hey, I want to draft a guy who's going off the board as a wide receiver 3 who I have ranked as a wide receiver 2. And so we already talked about Terry McLaurin, who I'm targeting as a wide receiver 3 because that's where he's going. How about Juju Smith-Schuster? What does the consensus say on him?
The consensus on Juju is mind-blowing. Wide receiver 1, number 12 out of wide receivers.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Right. Cool. So I'm not going to have any shares because I've got him around like 20.
All right. So I'm a little bit lower on Juju Smith-Schuster there because yeah. the ADP is up and down the board on him. Tyler Boyd is another guy who I'm targeting in that range, who I think is good. Here's my rationale with Tyler Boyd. My rationale is Joe Burrow, and then this isn't a perfect comparison, but Joe Burrow last year completed 100 passes to Justin Jefferson in the slot.
Yep. Sure. That's amazing in a shortened college season. Yeah.
Tyler Boyd is a really good slot receiver. I don't think you need to think Tyler Boyd's a special talent to see where the opportunity might come here. And as you guys mentioned, Bobby, you mentioned the 10 personnel possibilities with the Bengals. They don't really have a tight end on this team. Drew Sample's more of a blocker. They drafted him in the second round, which means they probably think he has some upside, but he's more of a blocker. Uzoma's just a guy. I could see Auden Tate being their de facto tight end as part of 10 personnel, and Tyler Boyd on the inside working the middle of the field. I really think that's an opportunity for him to catch a lot of passes. I don't think you have to think he's just this super talented guy in order to be really high on him.
He creates separation. He runs into gaps in the defense, and that's exactly what Justin Jefferson did. Boyd's very good at it. I like the call. I'm probably not going to have too many shares, though. Yates, who do you like as a wide receiver 3 that you figure will end up on a lot of your teams this year?
Yeah, one of the guys that I find myself really being drawn to in redraft, you know, mock drafts and stuff like that, and even dynasty leagues, is actually Robbie Anderson in Carolina.
Yeah.
Looking at purely based on his opportunity, and people want to say that Teddy Bridgewater can't throw deep or anything like that. Like, no, like, he can throw deep. He just didn't because of the way that offense was designed in New Orleans when he stepped in last year. And when you have Michael Thomas working the short to intermediate levels of the field, you get the ball in his hand. Like, it's really not that complicated. So looking at Carolina, though, their defense, yes, they made some improvements on the, through the draft, but yet you're still rolling out a ton of rookies and you still have a very essentially weak defense. Like, it's not going to be a top 5 unit in the NFL this year, which more often than not equates to you throwing the ball a lot more than you anticipated. Yes, Christian McCaffrey is going to be involved. DJ Moore, I think, is in for a huge year. But you're looking at Curtis Samuel. I think he's still going to see some targets, but he's never been the guy that you feel super comfortable rolling out there, you know, from an offensive perspective.
Agree.
And as a wide receiver too, he's more of a wide receiver 3, you know, mix him in and get him some scheme touches. He just hasn't taken the steps forward that we want.
They're going to throw the ball a ton playing from behind too.
And Matt Rhule has, you know, experience with Robbie Anderson. He knows this scheme from his time at Temple. And I think that Robbie Anderson is walking into a huge target share here again, because I don't think Ian Thomas is going to assume, you know, more than 100 targets. So I think there's plenty of targets to go around here for Robbie Anderson. He's shown flashes that he can contribute and he can be a solid player there.
And imagine if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt too. That clears up 10,000 targets as well. Let's just touch on some really deep wide receivers. We don't need to go really that far into the analysis, but just name some guys that you love. I'll start us off. I'm going to have a lot of Anthony Miller. I'm going to take some chances on Breshad Perriman. Hardman and Watkins from Kansas City, just because I want shares of that Kansas City offense. One of these guys is going to be the wide receiver two for Mahomes and is going to dominate. And then I want DeSean Jackson, who's all the way down at ECR 60.
Oh, DeSean, I love it.
Yeah, yep. Okay, I see. Now, you said I'd like to talk about the Eagles wide receivers, and I wanted to know what you thought here, because DeSean Jackson, when he's on the field, is still really dang good. What do you think, Joe?
Well, he was my most drafted wide receiver in best ball last year. And after week one, I was like, yeah, let's go. And then he died. And now the good thing for Philly is they actually protected themselves this year by drafting fast guys with Jalen Reagor and John Hightower,
yeah,
and even Quez Watkins. Like, so their entire offense won't collapse if they lose DeSean Jackson again. But he's super cheap. I'm in on him at his cost. He's somebody I'm definitely in on. I am super freaking high on Deontay Johnson. I think that's going to become a pretty sharp opinion here.
Where do you have him, Joe?
31.
I have him at 33. I'm right there with you.
So super high on him. And I think with that, I think that ranking might even look foolish by the end of the year. One guy, like foolish as in like, I can't believe we weren't even higher on this guy.
If he's better than Juju Smith-Schuster this year, would that surprise you?
No.
Me either. And everyone's drafting Juju as a wide receiver one. Deontay Johnson's going wide receiver 51. I'm not saying I've got him higher in my ranking straight up, but I'm saying it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's outrageous as well. So another guy I've drafted a ton in best ball is Mike Williams, and I only have him at wide receiver 37, and I think that's kind of where he's going in ADP, but I think he's got touchdown upside. I think Keenan Allen takes a big hit in the new Chargers offense, which is going to be a way lower volume passing game, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Justin Herbert.
If it's Tyrod, I don't really want Mike Williams. If it's Justin Herbert, I'm drafting all the Mike Williams.
Yeah, so I really like him there. And another guy who's a rookie wide receiver who I actually have in my rankings ahead of some of the guys who went in the first round, and a guy who I think has an outside shot, if not a good shot, to lead rookie wide receivers in catches is Michael Pittman.
Dang it, Joe. That was going to be my guy. Sorry.
Look at the opportunity. Yeah. I mean, he's going to play the X.
Yates, why don't you give us a few more names, man? That's funny.
No, I was literally just about to interject before Joe said the name. I was like, Joe, don't do it. Don't do
sorry,
it.
Sorry, sorry.
No, it's Michael Pittman Jr., man. I think that we've seen in redraft leagues that people are typically hesitant to invest in a rookie wide receiver. And we've seen that kind of that trend, go away over the past couple of years with guys like Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, you know, DK Metcalf even last year. Like, these guys took a step forward and contributed for fantasy football right out of the gate. So, you know, looking at guys like Justin Jefferson, too. Justin Jefferson's in a great position to succeed, even, you know, with Adam Thielen on the field. If Thielen continues to struggle with his injury concerns, then, you know, Justin Jefferson's walking into a large amount of those targets in Minnesota. But Michael Pittman Jr., man, I think that he just has the skill set that matches up with Phillip Rivers really, really well. You have other guys like T.Y. Hilton, who, of course, hasn't been healthy over the past couple years. Paris Campbell, same thing, is a bit of an unproven, you know, he flashed here or there. But Michael Pittman Jr. is walking into an amazing opportunity. I have him currently down for 109 targets, and I think that he can easily hit the over on that.
Yates, do you have any other names that you're really fond of deep into drafts? I forgot one. Rashad Perriman, I want some shares.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned Anthony Miller. I'm an Anthony Miller fan this year. I think that he's in a great opportunity. Otherwise, I'm looking through and trying to scan really quick. I still think Julian Edelman's going to have fantasy value, but I'm not super excited about that. I think his ADP is going to be a little bit higher than I'm willing to invest in.
Sure. All right. Before we move on over to tight end, I forgot. There's a stat I wanted to share, and I can't let this pass by. I know we talked about Calvin Ridley like 20 minutes ago. I have to get the last word in here. He had fewer fantasy points per game than Michael Gallup and Marvin Jones last year, guys. You've got him in your top 12.
Woo. Opportunity, man. Opportunity. Yep.
He was ridiculously efficient. He was more efficient than Julio Jones in terms of yards per target. That's crazy, guys. I see the upside absolutely in Calvin Ridley. Let's go to tight ends, though. We'll do the fight at the very end. We're going to do one fight. I just want to start Kelsey or Kittle. Who do you have, Joe?
Kelsey. It's by about 25 fantasy points.
Whoa. Okay.
But I understand that might be a little aggressive. I think both guys are in a clear tier one this year.
Agreed.
Like, you know, last year it was Kelsey, Kittle, Ertz. Kelsey and Kittle are the very clear tier one this year because Ertz is going to have more competition for targets that back there in Philly. So, yeah, it's Kelsey. I'm not as confident in that as our projections are, but I'll take either one, and I think both are solid second-round picks.
Who do you have, Yates?
I have Kittle ahead of Kelce, but they're right there together. I think it'll just be, for me, if I am going to go the early tight end route, it might just be saying, okay, whoever goes off the board first, I'll take the next one.
I'm pulling up Kittle right now and Kelce on Who Should I Draft. It's a tool that we have, and it's awesome. Like, you just type in the 2, 3, or 4 players, and then you click View Advice, and it's going to say 40 out of 56 experts recommend Kelce over Kittle. It tells you their rankings in accuracy last season. It tells you their rankings for tight end accuracy last season. So let's see. The number one most accurate tight end ranker has Kelce. In fact, the top 10 last year in tight end accuracy have Kelce over Kittle. So that is really interesting. I've got Kittle over Kelce. Now I'm second guessing myself. Either way, if they're both available in the late second round, I'm pulling the trigger on a tight end, no doubt about it this year. Now, who's your number three? Because a lot of people have Mark Andrews. Some have Zach Ertz. Yeah, Tags, who's not on the podcast today, has Darren Waller. Is there anybody else even in consideration, and who do you have, Joe?
There's nobody in consideration other than those three. Ours is Mark Andrews. Again, like I said, Zach Ertz, I mean, look, the guy's caught, like, what, 550 passes in his career? He's on a Hall of Fame pace.
He was the tight end 5 last year, and that was with all their wide receivers hurt, and Dallas Goedert still emerging. He's over 30 years old. I don't have Ertz in my top 5 this year.
Wow, that's surprising, because I want to know who you knock out of your top, because I think the top 5 is very clear this year. So I'm interested to hear who you have in your top 5 instead of Ertz, but my number 3 is Andrews, and I just think, again, he's like mini Kittle. He's the number one receiver for Baltimore. You know, we know how Baltimore's offense is different than everybody else's, but he's their number one receiver. And even though, when it comes to Ertz, I think the addition of Jalen Reagor, I think the hopeful return of DeSean Jackson actually helps him, because, you know, you can't bracket Zach Ertz anymore. Like, there's going to be more space to operate. But Dallas Goedert reportedly, my guy Adam Kaplan, who's with us at Fantasy Points, he reported Dallas Goedert played all season through a calf injury. So you would think if he played hurt all year, he's probably going to get a higher target share. I just don't think Zach Ertz is going to get the major targets that he had gotten with Philadelphia the past couple years. So that's why Andrews is number 3 for
okay,
us.
Okay, real question. If Zach Ertz were to get hurt in the preseason, or somehow the Eagles trade him or something, is Dallas Goedert the tight end 1 in fantasy by the end of the year?
No.
Do you think it's possible? Because I think it's possible.
I mean, yes, it's possible. Like, if you were to tell me Zach Ertz doesn't play a game this year, we'd probably put Goddard.
We'd draft a number 3, right?
In the 3-4 range. Yeah.
Yeah. Him or Andrews. Yeah. Yates, you agree with that, man? Do you want to draft Goddard just in case?
I typically don't, just because I'm going to go with, in those later rounds, I'm going to go with a guy who I know has, like, guaranteed volume. I think if I do skip out on the early tight end strategy and I'm looking at a tight end late, I'm going to draft a guy who I think that has a great opportunity. Rather,
I know who you're drafting, man. It's Jonu Smith, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Jonu Smith there, just because I think, looking at this offense, Corey Davis hasn't turned it on. You know, Delanie Walker is finally out of town in Tennessee. Jonu Smith is going to be on the field for 100% of the snaps, in my opinion. And I think that he's walking into an amazing target share. So
he's so athletic, dude.
I have him up at tight end 5. That might be a little bit too high right now. I might back that down. I might back that down by season, but looking at the target share that he could be walking into, it's pretty astronomical.
When you have a tight end with the ball in their hands, I don't know if there's anyone. I know this is this sounds like hyperbole. I'm not trying to do hyperbole. I don't know if there's anyone better with the ball in their hands at the tight end position than Jonu Smith.
I'd go Kittle there. I would go Kittle as a monster after the catch.
Kittle's remarkable, man, but Jonu Smith, dude, he's like a wide receiver playing tight end, just like the guy he's replacing, Delanie Walker. I mean, these guys both, you look at them on mockdraftable.com and it compares them, their athleticism and everything. These guys both have wide receiver bodies playing the tight end position. He's awesome. Now, his ECR is 16, so, dude, you're really high in him. I wouldn't mind getting some shares of him late. I've got him number 14 as well. What I would love to do, though, is just draft Dallas Goedert and then stream. And I don't mind having two tight ends when one of them has the upside to be a league winner like Dallas Goedert. It's just like drafting one of these high-end backup running backs, Tony Pollard, Alexander Mattison, Latavius Murray. It's the same kind of thing here. Goddard is a league winner if Ertz gets hurt or whatever happens. Now, Tyler Higbee is the other guy that I would love to get. He's not the one in my top five, though. I'm saving that for the end when we have the throwdown fight. What do you think about Tyler Higbee, Joe, and who do you like outside of those top five titles?
So Tyler Higbee is in that same range of like Evan Ingram and Hunter Henry,
right,
and guys I'm not entirely sure what to do with. When it comes to Ingram, he's always hurt. When it comes to Hunter Henry, what's the Chargers offense going to look
like?
Hurt
too.
Oh, and he's also always hurt. Higbee, he was dominant at the end of last season, but is the Rams offense going to look different? You know, it's the conversation we just had about Robert Woods. So he's in that 6, 7, 8 range for me, where I'm not really sure what to do with him. Jared Cook is in that range. And the reason Jared Cook is in that range is I think he scored. Now he scored on 13.5% of his targets last year, not his receptions.
Are you insane. Kidding me?
His targets.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
But, you know, you also look at that and say, man.
Like Will Fuller range.
Right. It's like, but you also look at that and say, hey, I mean, he was good last year and there's no reason for them to take him off the field. They drafted Troutman, who's probably going to replace him in 2021. But yeah, Jared Cook had 9 touchdowns on 65 targets.
Wow.
43 receptions. So yeah, so he's in that range. I think I'm going to leave who I have ranked at number 9 at tight end because I have a feeling it's your number 5.
My number 5 is number 9 in ECR. And Yates, you are really low on Austin Hooper, who's not near 12 tight ends.
I'm not going anywhere near Austin Hooper this year.
Austin Hooper has 150 receptions in his last 28 games. When he got hurt last year, he was the number one tight end in fantasy football. He was, he's going to be competing for targets in Cleveland with Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry, right? He was competing for targets in Atlanta with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. What changes here? The guy's awesome.
Here's the big difference. They're going to run the football. Cleveland's going to run the ball.
The difference is 684 passing attempts versus 500.
You think that the Browns only passed the ball 500 times?
Well, look, Kevin Stefanski, look at what he did last year with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. And I think it's fair to argue the Browns might actually have a better offensive line than Minnesota had last year.
Yeah.
The Browns, I think arguably, you know, the two most important moves the Browns made this year were signing Jack Conklin to play right tackle and spending their first round pick on Jedrick Wills. Kevin Stefanski is not going to have Baker Mayfield drop back 650 times. It's not going to happen.
No, Bobby, Minnesota last year only threw the ball 466 times.
Right. Yeah, Cleveland only threw the ball 539 times.
I have Austin Hooper at 17, by the way.
Oh, you guys, wow.
Hold on, I have him at 13.
So you guys think he was just a product of Atlanta's offense? Because
No.
He was elite.
They don't think so because they paid him. He's one of those guys where I think his impact on what they're going to be able to do offensively is going to be greater than his fantasy impact.
Yep.
Do you know who I thought you actually had in your top five?
I know.
Who I have at 9?
I'm trying to figure it out. Mike Gesicki?
How about the guy who's replacing Austin Hooper?
Oh, you have Hayden Hurst in your top 10. No, I do not have him number 5. Oh, guys, Austin Hooper had more fantasy points per game last year than Mark Andrews, Zach Ertz, Darren Waller, Evan Ingram, Jared Cook. He's the number 3 tight end.
No, I'm not debating like his talent level. I think Austin Hooper's a talented tight end, but it's just looking at the offense and opportunity. Even if he has a similar target share to what he had last year in Atlanta, you're talking about the overall volume of that passing offense. So that's why I have him a little bit lower.
Isn't it funny how we all three of us keep doing this Freudian slip where we start to say wide receiver and then we say tight end? Because they just are wide receivers, right? I would love if fantasy just got rid of the tight end position, added a wide receiver / tight end. You can put him in there.
Oh, I hate that idea.
You do? Because then we don't have to Jason Witten.
Oh, God. If we're streaming Jason Witten at any point this year, we're in serious trouble.
But sometimes, people do because of the matchups. Like, there are 6 reliable tight ends at any given time, and the rest of them just suck. Like, it might be worse than defense special teams and kicker.
Well, I think that's part of the fun, though, is trying to dig up some of these guys who might actually have some value.
And
you know what's funny about the tight end position this year is I actually think there's some really interesting guys in that like 13 to 25 range that just didn't exist last year.
Why don't you give us names? Let's end with that, okay? Some guys that you think are flyers who could break out and maybe be a top 6 tight end by the end of the season.
Jay Sternberger.
Okay, yeah. And you already said Hayden Hurst as well.
Yeah, I mean, I already have Hayden Hurst ranked really high. Sternberger is one of those guys, though. Again, I'm looking at Green Bay, and I'm like, who's getting the ball thrown to them?
That's true.
I mean, like, at this point, all we really have is fluff pieces because there's no actual workouts. But, I mean, the Green Bay Athletic has been pumping up Jay Sternberger. Just did an interview with him. Seems to be a really thoughtful guy. You know, he said he was intimidated by Aaron Rodgers and all that stuff. But he came on. His first career NFL touchdown came in the playoffs because he was hurt last year. Is there a chance, is there a path to Jay Sternberger being second on Green Bay in targets? Look at the rest of the receivers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Funchess, Lazard, Valdez-Scantling. Lazard was all right last year. Funchess is a guy. Valdez-Scantling fell on his face with his opportunity.
Those guys might not even be on the team come week one.
Right. So I'm thinking, you know, we know Devontae Adams is going to lead the team in targets if he's healthy. Aaron Jones is probably in that mix as well. But I think Jay Sternberger has to be in the conversation for who is second on Green Bay in targets behind Devontae Adams.
Well, I'll tag onto that really quick, too. Moving towards their new offensive philosophy where they're going to be running, I think they're going to join, you know, the teams that you listed off earlier, Joe, of the Vikings, the Browns, as far as predominantly running the Rams, predominantly running 12 personnel. I think that's where they want to go. They recently came out and said that Josiah DeGuara, their third round pick, they don't view him as a fullback. They actually view him as a great blocking tight end. So I think that you're going to have DeGuara and Sternberger on the field for the majority of the snaps in their 12 personnel. Well, if you're on the field as a tight end, you're going to stand a greater chance of relevancy than some of these other guys who are coming on only in, you know, an Evan Engram, who's coming on as a big slot type receiver. So yeah, I think that Sternberger has a really good opportunity in front of him.
So, Yates, you already said Jonnu Smith. Give us another name in this range that you're fond of. Are you one of the Blake Jarwin hype guys?
I have him at 14, so I think he's walking into a...
Okay, so yeah, much higher than me.
Yeah, I think he's walking into a great opportunity. Again, we mentioned that, you know, Jason Witten saw 83 targets right last year, like the ghost of Jason Witten, and they paid Blake Jarwin an average of $5 million a year on a new contract. Like, that says that they feel great about him. Now, I'm not going to project him all the way up into like my top seven. I think that's a little bit outlandish, but to have him as kind of this guy who you could teetering on a tight end one, roll him into some lineups here or there as a streamer, I think Blake Jarwin's a good option. Another guy I'll mention, Mike Gesicki. You look at that offense, Gesicki's walking into a great opportunity.
And Preston Williams, who knows if he's going to be healthy to start the season. Gesicki was great once Preston Williams got hurt. I think he's obviously got a ton of athleticism. He really improved as a football player last year watching the tape. Now, I've got two names here. I was going to say Gesicki is my third. Jack Doyle's my number 12 fantasy tight end this year. Jack Doyle's going to get a lot of targets. You already mentioned Michael Pittman might be the wide receiver one on that team. Jack Doyle's going to get a ton of targets if he can stay healthy. And then the other one, this is somebody that he could finish as a top five tight end. Because Rob Gronkowski is so injury prone. OJ Howard could be the starting tight end.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going with Gronk.
Gronk, I've gotten my top 10 as well. But if Gronk gets hurt again, like he does, two out of every 3 years, OJ Howard could be a stud with Tom Brady. We're talking about the single most efficient tight end in NFL history. That's who he's been through three seasons.
I feel like, I don't know if I want to go down this road again of OJ Howard could be, you know, this, you know, every single week.
Well, he's a complete flyer. You're not drafting him as your tight end five this year, and then you get bit in the butt. You're drafting him as your tight, what is he? Tight end number 19, complete shot in the dark. He's just a handcuff, right? And he doesn't have to be a direct handcuff to Gronk. You don't have to have Gronk. If Gronk gets hurt, you've all of a sudden got a tight end one, an easy tight end one with tight end four, tight end five upside. Joe, any thoughts on O.J. Howard if Gronk were to get hurt? Or on Gronk?
I mean, they're going to keep him. I could see that happening as well. I just wanted to throw another tight end out there who's going in the late rounds, who I think this guy was a big-time money winner for me in best ball 2 years ago, and it was Eric Ebron. And,
interesting,
you know,
yeah.
Unfortunately, when he went to Indianapolis, he was just such a cheap tight end, too, that you could draft in best ball. And he scored a ton of touchdowns. This year, he is super cheap as well, and he's in Pittsburgh, and he could score a ton of touchdowns if that offense is good. And the great news about Ebron is, like in 2018, you don't have to pay up for him. You had to pay up for him last year. So I went from being on Ebron in 2018 to being off Ebron in 2019 because of the cost. Now he changes teams. The cost is low. I'll be investing in him as a tight end too again because, I view him as all upside at this point.
Joe, where do you have him really quick?
14th.
I have him at 15.
Okay.
Right there with you.
I've got Ebron at 15 too.
So, but here's the thing you guys are probably noticing, like 14 to 20 at tight end. Just throw them in whatever order you want.
Oh yeah, sure. Completely.
Yeah. There's a lot of upside there for sure. Now we're done talking tight ends, but I'm not going to let you get out of here without breaking the tie between Yates and I on Odell Beckham. Where do you stand?
I like him this year.
Yeah, baby, let's go. I've got him at wide receiver 7.
I got him at 12.
Oh, so you're with Yates then. Yates has him at 13.
No, but I actually like him.
Yeah.
Like, I really like drafting him, and I'm gonna tell you why. First and foremost, I think they were just a disaster last year. I do believe that he was hurt. And at some point, I think you have to take into account where, like, you know, it became, like, for lack of a better term, the woke thing to be like, don't, you know, Odell Beckham isn't problematic and he's great and all this stuff. And, you know, occasionally a crap bird is going to crap bird. You don't have to be a criminal to be somewhat of a problem. And I think there's enough smoke near him. But I think part of the biggest problem for Odell Beckham last year was the situation was bad. Obviously, the coaching staff with Freddie Kitchens, it was just terrible. And also, on top of all that and the injury, his schedule last year was awful.
It was a nightmare.
Awful for a number one. Now look, you're in the AFC North, so you're gonna get two games against Joe Hayden. You're gonna get those games. You're gonna get two games against Baltimore secondary. That's bad. That's not good. But look at some of the other teams that Odell Beckham faced last year. Faced the Rams. He faced the 49ers. He faced New England. So Stephon Gilmore, Denver. You know, he got that secondary. Buffalo, Tre'Davious White, got Xavien Howard with Miami, you know, so Patrick Peterson with Arizona. Odell Beckham had like four games where he didn't face an elite corner last year.
Right.
It's just not going to happen again.
Here's the stat that I wanted to share. I saved this for the end of the podcast for a reason. Most fantasy points per game for wide receivers in NFL history through their 27th birthday. Number one, Michael Thomas at 19.1, Julio Jones, 19.0. Odell Beckham, 18.9, tied with Randy Moss and Jerry Rice. Number six goes all the way down to 17.5. That's Calvin Johnson, Antonio Brown, AJ Green, Larry Fitzgerald, Tyreek Hill. DeAndre Hopkins at 16.5. 2.4 fewer fantasy points per game than Beckham. And I get it. Beckham had a bad year last year. DeAndre Hopkins had a horrible year and nobody drafted him. He played 16 games and was the wide receiver 34 and nobody drafted him. What did he do the next year? Wide receiver 1. That's going to be Odell Beckham this year. It's possible.
Having him at 13 is not an indication. Again, we're talking about with Amari Cooper. I think OBJ is top 5 talent at the wide receiver position in the NFL. I think it's just based on the opportunity,
sure,
the overall passing volume of that offense. If he is going to finish in the top 5, you know, top 7 where you have him, Bobby, he has to do it on the back of a ridiculous touchdown rate. So I think that you're projecting that offense is taking a huge step forward as far as their overall, like, passing touchdown.
And for what
total.
It's worth, you're with ECR. I'm the high guy on Odell Beckham. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. That's all for today's show. Joe, really appreciate you coming on. This was fun.
I had a great time, guys. This was a really good debate. And, you know, it's fun to see that I was sharing the same mind with players on both of you guys at some point. So I think that means we're all on the right path.
We're figuring out together. That's why we have these conversations, so we can adjust our rankings, give the best analysis by the time you guys are doing your fantasy drafts. Joe, thanks again. Give Joe a follow on Twitter at FG_Dolan and check out his new site, fantasypoints.com. All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsor of today's show, Reality Sports Online. Guys, the reason we play fantasy sports is because we want to pretend to be real GMs, right? At Reality Sports Online, they make it that much more realistic. Go there and try your general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction and use the promo code FANTASYPROS if you like it, and you'll receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Again, that's realitysportsonline.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. And don't forget to sign up for that signed Alvin Kamara full-size helmet giveaway. Check out the details for it at fantasypros.com/contest. For Kyle Yates and Joe Dolan, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express.
Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.